Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair.
Walking by
when
the door.
I entered the gate,
mute your
phone, I cried home. The angel, oh, met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want Jesus, the one who died for all.
I bow on my knees and cry.
And as I entered the gates of that city, I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
glory, I clap my hands and sing, glory, 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 I clap my
Amen. Amen. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Saints of the Most High God, believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's an honor and privilege to be joined back here on the broadcast one more time. Amen. For another episode, amen, of Sound Doctrine Broadcast with our very own theologian, Dr. Ventura. Amen. So we thank you for joining us, amen. Make sure you have your Bibles in hand, amen. Go to the book of Revelations. You can get a head start as we talk about the seven churches. But first, before we do anything, we're going to go into a word of prayer. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now, Lord God, as we come near to study on the seat of Satan in this particular church, Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that we bind anything that's not of you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that your angels are encamped around us, Lord God. Anoint this broadcast, anoint the teacher, the man of God, Lord God, the doctor who you assign, God, for this broadcast, for this time, for this season, God. Lord God, to teach on the doctrine of truth, Lord God. And Lord God, let somebody be inspired by the word of God and seek the knowledge of the church tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord God, for your truth. We thank you, Lord God, for your way, God. For your way is the truth and the light, God. So we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for Inner Praise Media Group, On the Spot, Nathan. We thank you, Lord God, and we ask that you put a hedge of protection around us all, God, as we continue to lift up the bloodstained banner. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, bless all the hearers of this holy words that go forth on tonight via internet all around the world. Lord God, all across the United States, even the seven continents, Lord God, that have satellites all around the world. So we thank you, God. Bless the hearers and doers of your word, of your truth, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you are tuned into the Worldwide Sound Doctrine Broadcast with our very own theologian, Dr. Ventura. All you holy rollers, Bible thumpers, all of y'all who study the Word of God, who don't tote around the Bible just to be cute, you study the Word of God, you study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. So we thank God for this broadcast. Our very own Dr. Ventura is the author of Mysteries of the Deep. It's a study on the gap theory of Genesis 1:1 and verses 2. Amen. So definitely, if you have any questions and you want to know how to go in further detail content about that with Dr. Ventura, you can just email us and we'll definitely give you the information to get in contact with Dr. Ventura. And he's also an author of the study of the Daniel 70 weeks, also the commentary of Haggai. It's an awesome commentary. I had an honor and privilege to read it myself and how it parallels to the church. Awesome study. You definitely need to be on the lookout for that. Also, this program is brought to you by Interpraisement Media Group and Nathan on the Spot. You can definitely, if you have any questions, you can get in contact. We have all our information on our commercial break. Once after the doctor takes an intermission, we'll have advertisement and we'll have all the information that you need concerning our sources and everything pertaining to music, books, and all of that stuff on the break. This is also sponsored by the 1611 King James Version Bible Translation Bible, amen, out of the original tongues of the prophets and apostles of God. Is God breathed and God inspired. Also, amen, if you want to comment or you got any questions for Doc, amen. Doc takes on all comers, amen. All interpretations, amen. 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. I'll go slower. 347-945-5416. And once you get in tune, amen, you listen, amen. And when the Lord touches you, you just press 1. You got any questions concerning the book of Revelation, any particular scripture in the Bible, you make sure if you don't leave this broadcast uninformed, Doc will do his very best by God's Spirit to answer your question in Jesus' name. So now we're going to read a psalm before we introduce, amen, our beloved doctor for this evening, amen. We're going to be coming from the book of Psalms. You go to the book of Psalms. And we're going to come from the 63rd Psalm. The 63rd Psalm. Amen. I'll give you 5 seconds to get there. Amen. You should have your Bibles in hand. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalm 63, it reads, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate in thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for fox. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies, oh, somebody shout, shall be stopped. In Jesus' name, we thank God for the reading of his holy word. That is Psalm 63. In Jesus' name, bless the hearers and doers of God's holy word. Now at this time, I bring forth, amen, a man of God, amen, who's a very excellent Bible teacher, amen. Amen. He believes in the word of God, amen. He believes it as the final authority. It ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He believes it's the final authority. So any questions that you may have concerning doctrine, concerning anything, he must come from the 1611 King James Bible, amen. Because if you desire to know more information about Bible translations or manuscripts, doctor would definitely inform you. So now I bring forth this man of God, amen. Many around the country know him. He's responsible for many men seeing the light of the truth, amen. Whether they be out on the streets, whether they be in prison, many have come to the knowledge of God through God using this man. I count it an honor and a privilege to know this man, amen. I have labored with him countless many of times, have done revivals with this man. I thank you, God, for this man. I bring forth the theologian himself, our very own of Sound Doctrine Broadcast, Dr. Ventura, in Jesus' name.
Oh, amen, brother. Amen. Whew. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate the introduction. I'm just a pizza delivery boy. You know, I hope they got their salt and pepper out and their cheese. And here we go. Last week, brother, we were talking about the Smyrna, the Church of Smyrna, and we said that it was a time when, you know, most church fathers, you know, they were spending more time having to defend the church and the faith than preaching it. And many heretical sects had gotten into the teachings, which are contrary to the word, and men like Origen and Clement of Alexandria and Didymus and Cyprian, they got into the church with some bad stuff. Some bad stuff. And the Lord had a warning for Smyrna. But tonight we're down to Pergamos, and we're working on the third church from Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. There's a whole lot of historical information. There's a whole lot of doctrinal information, and there's a whole lot of biblical information. And we said in the beginning of this study that we teach historically, doctrinally, and spiritually. And so historically, we know that this church here that we're going to study tonight, Pergamos, is in the time period of 325 to 50 A.D. And at that time, Constantine is the Roman emperor, and he embraces Christianity. In this time period, about 325, we have the start of the Roman Catholic Church, which starts then. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans gets into the church, and we have the separation of the clergy and the laity. And, you know, it's not supposed to be that way. That's not correct church doctrine, but that's how it came. And so we'll read down through the verses. I'll come back and give you a little information about the church. Scripture said, "The church in Pergamos, write these things, saith he which has a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Amen. Amen. And so the Lord's telling them that this message is coming from the one who has the sword of his mouth. And you know, if you have your Bibles open and you looked into Revelation 19, you'd study about the marriage of the Lamb, and you'd study about the Lamb of God. And in verse 15, the beginning of the verse tells you that Jesus Christ is him. He says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Go with a sharp sword, he'd smite the nations. And so the message is coming from the Lord, and the message is to the church. And it's ominous. It's ominous at the time. Now, Pergamos, the name, it means much marriage or twice married, and it comes from the same root words as bigamy and polygamy. And the name conveys to us not only the nature of the city, but the nature of God's assembly as well there. And it was a city, but it wasn't like Ephesus or Smyrna. It was a city of commerce, was Ephesus and Smyrna. But when you get over to Pergamos, you find out it's just the capital of the Roman province of Asia. It's the seat of imperial and judicial authority, and it's known chiefly for its religion, chiefly for its religion. And that's important because when you start looking at this religion, this where Satan's seat comes from, we're going to get a lesson tonight on that, a good lesson. We'll find out how we got the Pontificus Maximus and how all that got into there. But what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to look at the first verse, Revelation 2:12, and it says, to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write these things, saith he which has a sharp sword with two edges. And we know he that has a sharp sword with two edges, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you read your Bible, it has a two-edged sword. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. You read it, and it'll convict you, and if you preach it, it'll convict somebody else. It cuts. It cuts. And that's why we need to read this Word every day, so that we can get right with the Lord. In verse 13, Scripture says that, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now, as I said, Pergamos means much marriage, and at this time it's a uniting. It's a uniting, and the period's marked by the rise of the Roman Catholicism, and the subsequent Dark Ages begin. And that starts beginning at the Council of Nicaea and with Constantine, the emperor, about 325 A.D. Actually, they say at 312 A.D., Constantine embraces Christianity while he was standing in Apollos' grove. He had a vision of a cross, and he saw the words conquer, the word. And he saw in the vision, he saw the Greek letter chi, which is an X, and rho, which is a P. And he saw them together. And I know you've seen that around in circles of religion before. I didn't say Christianity circle. I said circles of religion, because there are religious people who are not Christians who are claiming to be. However, Constantine never forsook his paganism. There's no place in history you can find where Constantine really became saved. There is no fruit of that. And when Constantine embraces Christianity, the church marries the state. And that's where we get Pergamos, much married. And the church has been leaving with heresy. And in 313 A.D., the Edict of Milan was issued, which made Christianity an acceptable national state religion of the Roman Empire. And paganism gets into the church, and the purpose of it was to draw the masses into the church. And so the Dark Ages begin at 500 A.D. with Pope Gregory, and they don't actually end until 1520 A.D. with Martin Luther. And I'm not speaking of Martin Luther King, great man. I'm talking about Martin Luther, the reformer who lived from 1483 to 1546. And so that's where we're at. Now, let's take a closer look at verse 13. He says, I know thy works. So this church has some works. And where thou dwellest, the Lord says, I know right where you are. I know where your church is. And I know where you're dwelling. I know what's around you. And the Lord knows everything. The Lord is great. Let me tell you, the Lord knows how many atoms it takes to make a universe. Don't think the Lord doesn't know. He says, I know thy works. And he knows your works. And where thou dwellest. And he knows where you're dwelling right now. And where Satan's seat is, where Satan's seat is. Now, that's important, because even where Satan's seat is, well, Satan's seat is found right here in Pergamos. That's what the Lord says. Between 325 and 500 A.D., we find Satan's seat in Pergamos. But that's not where it originates from. It didn't originally come from Pergamos. And later on, we're going to see that Satan's seat is given to the Antichrist. And let's clarify what the seat means. What does this word seat mean? Well, really, what it means is it's a show of authority. It's a place of authority. And I'm going to give you two verses, and we'll look at them together real quick, because I have some great material, and amen. You know, brother was talking to me before we got on the air here, and we were saying, you know, the devil's done everything he could to stop this broadcast tonight, and I want you to know the Lord wants you to hear it, and God will prevail because he's victorious. Revelation 13, 1 and 2 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads a name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet was as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." And so that seat represents a place of authority, and that dragon is Satan. And so that seat. Now, if you look over with me and just kind of jump over to Matthew real quick and look at Matthew 23:2. And you know what? You don't have to take Brother Ventura's word or any other word. You have to check your Bible. You just don't believe what any man says. Everybody can say they're a man of God. You need it confirmed in your spirit, but you need it confirmed by the word of God. You know, Peter was up on the mount, and he saw Jesus, and he saw Elijah and Moses, but he writes over there in his epistle that he had a more sure word of prophecy, and that more sure word of prophecy than any vision you're having is this word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's not so. And don't let anybody teach it. I tell people, if my mother tells you something wrong, and I love my mother, you better check it against the Bible. Amen? Because the Bible stands true. But over here in Matthew 23, look at verse 2. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." So what we're getting here about Satan's seat in the book of Revelation is that it's a place of authority. It's a place of authority, and that's where Satan's seat was at this time. It's in Pergamos. It's there between 325 and 500 A.D., and Satan not only has a seat, he has a synagogue. If you look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, "I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." He also has a seat. We saw that in Revelation 2:13, and he has a city. First it's Pergamos, but then it ends up somewhere else. And so we have to understand where it went and how did it get there. And so what we have is, once we establish that there's that connection between Mystery Babylon in chapter 17, we have to look at the colors, and we have to look at a little bit about that place. In Revelation 17:4, their primary is follows. The scripture says, "And a woman," this woman represents the church, "was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a gold cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Okay? And so the woman with the golden cup is connected to Babylon. Now, the religion of Babylon is where a woman named Semiramis, she was the wife of Nimrod. She became the high priestess of idol worship. She was known as the Queen of Heaven. And she's associated with Semiramis was Tammuz. And the legend was that Tammuz, Semiramis' son, was miraculously conceived through a sunbeam, a miracle birth. And then Tammuz was offered as the promised deliverer to the earth. He's a counterfeit of Genesis 3:15. He's a counterfeit of Jesus Christ. And Tammuz and his birth is a counterfeit. And the legend goes on that Tammuz dies, and for 40 days Semiramis weeps over his death. And that's where the 40 days, when you see in Roman religion, you'll see that 40 days of Lent. And after 40 days, Tammuz resurrects, and he comes back to life. And his resurrection was celebrated as the Feast of Ishtar, celebrated with things as Ishtar's eggs. Sound familiar? Easter, Ishtar, and the cult's worship of the mother and child spread through the whole world, and it existed under different names in Assyria, Ishtar and Tammuz. In Phoenicia, which is northern Israel, it was Astaroth and Baal. In Egypt, it's Isis and Osiris. In Greek, it was Aphrodite, Eros. In Rome, it's Venus and Cupid. And Israel fell into that type of idolatry. I mean, you can find it in Jeremiah 7:18, Jeremiah 44:17 through 19, and verse 25, Ezekiel 8, 8 through 14. So this thing starts out in Babylon, and it's going to get over to Rome. Babylon continued to be the Seta Seton until the fall of the Babylonian, Median, Persia empires about 331 BC. Greece ultimately conquers Media Persia, so it continues until that time. And at that time, Satan shifts his seat to Pergamos in Asia Minor. It goes west. It goes to modern-day Turkey. Now, you should know this, that in B.C., 539, when Cyrus took Babylon, the heathen priests and the temple prostitutes fled. They fled for their lives, and they ran to Pergamos, and they were given asylum there by the king. And in gratitude, they conferred onto the king. They gave onto the king the name or the title, which was Belshazzar's title in Babylon, Pontifex Maximus. Pontifex Maximus. And that means one who bridges the gap. Some say it means one who bridges the gap between the demon world and men. And so Attalus, who was the king of Pergamos at the time, Attalus III, he died. And the kingdom, along with Belshazzar's title, was passed by his bequest, by his will, to the Roman Republic. And afterwards, to the Roman Empire. And so when you study this thing out, we've made that connection already, that you have to establish there's a connection between both ancient Babylon and mystery Babylon, which is Rome, because Satan's slithering tail's got to be uncovered here. Satan's seat is found at Pergamos in Revelation 2:12. It was not always in Pergamos. Pergamos is one of the Asian churches. Alexander Hislop wrote a great historical of this, and he declared, here's a quote, he said, "After the death of Belshazzar, there was an expulsion of the Chaldean priesthood from Babylon by the Medo-Persian king to Pergamos." That was in 240 to 241. Mithraism is the name of the ancient Babylonian religion. It's the religion of Semiramis, Tammuz, and Nimrod. Tammuz was supposed to be virgin birth on the 25th of December. He's recognized by the sign of the cross. This is all connected to Easter, fertility, eggs, Lent, and all those things. Usher in his chronology. And, you know, if you look in your Bible, you see the dates in your Bible that are approximate dates. Well, those come from Usher's chronology. And Usher writes that approximately 133 B.C., Attalus Philometor, he left the will to Rome, as we said, and the crown and purple robes of the king. And this is what he said in his will. He said, "Let the people of Rome be heir to my God." This necessarily, what this means now is that this necessarily passed on the rights of the Mithraism high priesthood to the Roman Empire and to its emperors. Attalus Philometor was the last king of Pergama in Asia. And as a result of that will, Satan's seat moved from Pergamos to Rome. Now, you've all heard of Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar, great Roman emperor, yes, maybe, no, but history records him very foully. History records him as every woman's man and every man's woman. He was a very vile man. But because of Attalus' will, Julius Caesar took on the name Pontifex Maximus. And that, of course, gave the title to the Roman emperors, not only of Pergamos, but also the rule of that mystery religion of Babylon, which had been Satan's seat at Pergamos. And so the unholy scepter of unrighteousness was passed down from the Roman emperor to Roman emperor until an emperor named Gaetan. He refused this title and the rites, but the bishop of Rome, his name was Damascus the First, he accepted them, and he became the ruler of the Roman church. And so nevertheless, when you look at this, you see that the symbols of this church, which are distinguished in Revelation chapter 17:4, is the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Well, Mithraism, in order to be introduced or accepted or initiated into the mystery religion, you had to drink from the golden chalice. And lo and behold, the mystical shroud covering that church, the whore that sits on the seven hills, the mystery church, Rome, which is in Rome, because that's where the Seta Seton went. It goes from Pergamos to Rome. Now, Pope Leo the 11th, in 1825, on the occasion of the Jubilee. Now, I don't want anybody to say, Brother Ventura is making his stuff up. He hates Roman Catholics. He hates any religion. Listen, I don't hate anybody. I want to clarify that right now. I don't want anybody saying that I said anything that's not true. What I'm giving you is historical and doctrine facts. You go check it out yourself, and you'll see what I'm saying is true. In 1825, on the occasion of the Jubilee, Pope Leo XI struck a medal bearing on the one side his own image, and on the other that of the Church of Rome, symbolized as a woman. She's holding in her left hand a cross, and in her right hand a cup. And the legend that's written around her is Sedet Super Universum in Latin, and it means the whole world is her seat. And the woman with the golden cup is emphatically that Roman Catholic Church, and it's where the mystery religion Babylon went. It went to Rome, it went to the emperors. When the emperors refused it, then Pope Damascus accepted it. And so when you look into this thing, it starts out at Babylon, but it gets over to Rome. Now, Israel fell into this type of idolatry. You can see this if you go back into the Old Testament, as in I gave you the verses, Jeremiah, and now let me slow down, 7:18, Jeremiah 44:17-19, and verse 25, Ezekiel 8:8-14. So this thing starts out in Babylon. And Babylon continued to be the seat of Satan until the fall of Babylon and Medo-Persian Empire about 331 B.C., and Greece ultimately conquered the Medo-Persia. So it continues until that time. But at that time, Satan shifts his seat to Pergamos in Asia Minor, and it goes west, again, to modern-day Turkey. And you see that in Revelations 2, 12-13. And as I said, Attalus is the king of Pergamos, but he dies in 133 B.C. And when he dies, he left that will, the headship of the Babylonian mystery priesthood. He sent it to the Roman emperors in Rome. He gave it to them. And remember what I said in the beginning about Pergamos. Pergamos was connected to Rome. And the way it gets connected to Rome is that it was a province of Asia that was a capital city of Roman province. And it's the seat of imperial and judicial authority in the Roman Empire. It was known chiefly for its religion. Well, why? Well, because the seat of Satan's there. And so what happens is there ends up there, when you start studying this thing, you find out that there's a group of people known as the Etruscans, A-T-R-U-S-K-I-N-S. And they came to Rome from Lydia, the region of Pergamos, where it's located, and they bring that Babylonian religion there with their rites, and they establish the religion in Rome. And they have a head priest who's known as the Pontiff. And in the Mithraism order, the Mithraism mystery religion of Babylon, they, by the way, they have somebody called a cardinal. And that cardinal in the mystery religion is somebody who opens the door. And they have somebody who has keys, and his name is Peter. Isn't that coincidental? But that's in the Chaldean. And so the Romans, later on, they accept this pontiff as a civil ruler. Julius Caesar was made pontiff of the Artusan Order in 74 B.C. So the religions and civil leader is combined into one. In 63 B.C., Julius Caesar was made the supreme pontiff, and he becomes heir to the rights and titles of Attalus, the king, who, you know, is head of the Babylonian priesthood in Pergamos. So the supreme pontiff gets handed down to future emperors of Rome, and they become supreme pontiffs until about 376 A.D., when again, the Roman Empire named Gaetian refuses the title and rights. Someone else took it, and the person that took it was the Bishop of Rome, and his name was Damascus I, and he becomes the ruler of the Roman Church. And so Satan's seat has united Rome and Babylon under one religious system. And that's why of all the outstanding Roman Catholic festivals that you see, there's a Babylonian origin into those things which are not scriptural. There's a worship of the Virgin Mary that came around about 381 A.D., 451 A.D., and that represents Semiramis. And there's Easter and Lent, Ishtar, mother-son worship. There's rosary beads, Tibet, China, Greece, Rome, associated with the worship of the goddess Diana, the sign of the cross. Well, the sign of the cross comes from the mystic Tau, T-A-U, in Egyptian, the Chaldean symbol of Tammuz, 500 years before Christ. You have celibacy, transubstantiation, auricular confession, baptismal regeneration, getting saved by water. And so you have all these things. And the Council's Phaeulos in 1229 decreed that Scripture should be denied to all laymen and members of the Roman Church, except priests or high officials. And so Mystery Babylon the Great, she's the mystery and she's a counterfeit of the Church, which is the body of believers, the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3:4-6. And so this is all very important because all those Roman empires were practicing what is called Mithraism, that mystery religion. And so what you have when you have a Mithraism is at Rome with the seat of Satan. You'll have Mithraism, the mystery religion of Babylon, and emperorship. And ultimately, this Mithraism gets transferred from the emperors of Rome to the bishop of Rome, who ultimately becomes the pope, who proclaims he's a God substitute, the vicar of Christ on earth. And I want you to know, Peter was never in Rome. Peter was never in Rome. Peter is not the first pope. Peter was married, and Peter was not in Rome. And this all deals comes from, this is the beginning of all that, and it started right here at this church in Pergamos. But it led from the first church of Ephesus, it went to the church of Smyrna, the heresy is building up, and it's building up, and now we're coming to 325, 500 AD, we got Constantine, he embraces Christianity, he's really not saved, and now when we look down in the verse of 2:13, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, well, that's where it was then. In 325 to 500 AD, but it was transferred. It was transferred. It went from Babylon to Pergamos to Rome. And then he says in the scripture, verse 13, the Lord says, and thou holdest fast my name. They were holding on to the name of Jesus Christ. When you hold something fast, you hold it sure, you hold it strong. Do you know a bird cannot stay on the limb of a tree unless he bends his knees? He has no control over his feet, over his toes. He has to, over his claws, he has to bend his knees to grip on to that so that his feet will close. And that's what you need to do, and I need to do. And that's what they did here. They held fast. They grabbed on for dear life. They held fast onto the Lord Jesus Christ and his name. Amen? And they did not deny the faith. What is the faith? The faith is that book in front of you, the King James Version Bible. This is the faith. We have not denied the faith. We have kept the faith. We have kept the Word of God. The problem with us today is that we don't know how to love the Lord, and we think that loving the Lord is some fuzzy-wuzzy feeling. Do you know what the Lord said? He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Obey my commandments. If you want the Lord to know you love him, then obey his commandments. Obey what he's told you to love one another. Put the Lord first in your life. He says, I know thy works, verse 13, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my face, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. See? Satan's seat. Satan's dwelling there. He's got authority in Pergamos at that time. And Antipas, he was a martyr. I don't think anybody really knows exactly. Nothing's known about him, except he was martyred in Pergamos. You know, Abel's the first martyr of the Bible, and then you get all the way over to Antipas. He's the last named martyr. I did not say he's the last martyr. He is the last named martyr in the Bible, in the book of Revelations. And then verse 14 says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Didn't we just talk about that, where Satan's seat went? It went from Pergamos to Rome, and that's what they were doing in Babylon. They were worshiping idols. They were worshiping material things. But the doctrine of he says, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. The main error against this church, there it is that they hold the doctrine of Balaam. And if you want to find that doctrine, you'll have to go to the book of Numbers, and you'll have to read chapter 22 to chapter 25. Because in this chapter of Revelation, you have a type of the satanic trinity. See, and that's what we're finding. Because you'll find in Numbers, in the verses I gave you, those chapters, that there's three people that are there. Balaam, Balak, and Baal. And that's a satanic trinity. You know, in the end time, you have the Antichrist, who claims to be the anti-God. You have the anti-Son, and you have the anti-Spirit, the prophet. And so here you have Balaam. He's a false prophet. And in the tribulation, you have the false prophet who works with the Antichrist. You have Balak. He's a king. He's a counterfeit of Jesus Christ. And you have Baal. He's a deity. He's a counterfeit of God. And so you find, if you want to go look at that satanic trinity and what the Lord's talking about here, why he's so angry with them. And listen, anger, righteous anger is not a wrong thing. Righteous anger is a good emotion. Use your anger righteously. Lord says, let not your anger go down. You know, let not the sun go down upon your anger. Righteous indignation is what we're talking about. Anger is emotion. You know, some people lose a child in a car accident, they go out and start Mothers Against Drunk Driving. You know, they don't go out shooting people. And so use your anger for a righteous purpose and glorify the Lord in it. He says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And so the doctrine of Balaam, it came from the fact that Balaam, Balak kept asking him to curse Israel. And he would not do that. And so what happened was, and we'll come back to that in a minute, but what happened was that he did tell them how to curse Israel, but he couldn't curse them. And we'll get back to that in a minute. And brother, we take a break, brother?
Amen, amen. You are definitely tuned in to the Sound Doctrine broadcast with our very own Dr. Ventura, amen. You're welcome to call in if you have any questions, amen, that has been discussed so far. I know we're talking about the Church of Pergamos, amen. The number is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. Amen. I believe we have advertisement. Lady J, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. What we got going on advertisement, amen?
Well, we would like to announce that Inner Praise and Media Group is expanding for the kingdom of God. One of the things that we do is called Mental of God Empowerment Program at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio on the same station, but on Monday nights, causing God's people to be empowered to anoint in areas of spirituality, business, music, finance, and relationships. We showcase people who empower multidimensional in their lives of the people of God. And also we have GQ Palace presents Crossroads Temples at 9 p.m. on Sunday night. And we premiere and introduce underground gospel artists and highlight their songs, as well as chat with the servants of God, gospel interviews and questions from the listening audience. And we also take submissions for that. And what you would do is email me, the president of marketing and promoting for Inner Praise and Media Group. That's emgpresident@gmail.com. Send your press kit and three songs, and then we'll get back with you as soon as possible. Also, we do Triple Boss Beat, where we specialize in lead praise, production, and prophetic melodies. Our anointing includes spoken psalms, worship, and praise and worship, sermonettes, soundtracks, written gospel songs, compositions, and gospel plays, also holy rhyme pattern songs. So if you would like to be involved in any of these things, contact me at emgpresident@gmail.com. And also we are expanding and doing commercials. So if you want a commercial on any of our shows, or if you just want to work with us, just email me, and my phone, you can call me. My phone number is 305-735-9522, 305-735-9522. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lady J. That's the president of Marketing Promotions, amen, of Inner Praise and Media Group. I believe we have a caller. Amen. Caller, welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast with Dr. Ventura. May I have your name and your question, please?
Efrem Mojica from Connecticut.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How you doing, brother?
Okay. The Lord bless everybody there and there also. I just want to ask Dr. Peter to, if that's related, like it's like a spiritual message to the people, because this is related to also people or Christians that met a worldly woman, because we're talking about the prince of the world. And what happened, like in verse 14 in the next church, in verse 20, it's mentioned Jezebel in there. It caused fornication to the people. And also, when Moses sent those people to war, they take the women and the children of Moab, and they defy the separation of the Puritan of character of the union of the world of the church, which is a spiritual chastity. James 4:4, Pergamos has lost the pilgrim character that was dwelling, like it's talking in verse 13, where Satan's throne is. So that means the word. The word is spiritual talking, you know, like go gambling, casinos, or many parties. And when you get married with a woman that is of the world and you're a Christian, you're going to be end up going to those places and parties.
Amen.
So I just want to mention that part. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. It's always good to hear from you. Love you, brother. And you're right. And I'm coming down to that. I'm coming down to that spiritual fornication there. Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
God bless you, brother. And thank you for calling Sound Doctrine Broadcast. Doc, I believe we got a question that came in. Amen. If I could get to it, amen. It says, it was talking about when it the stumbling block of Balaam. They was talking about the stumbling block of Balaam. Is that why Apostle Paul says to be careful of casting a stumbling block before your brother because of what happened with Balaam and the children of Israel? Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's good, brother. That's absolutely correct. The problem was you had the way of Balaam, and the way of Balaam was selling out God's gift for money. The error of Balaam is he couldn't distinguish between Israel's standing and his state, and the doctrine of Balaam was teaching Balak how to corrupt Israel. And so when you put a stumbling block before a brother, you know, Paul talks about a stumbling block could be as simple as eating a piece of meat. I mean, I'm a grown Christian, a mature Christian, and I know I can eat anything as long as I bless it, and there's nothing to be refused to God. But a younger Christian may feel that, you know, I cannot eat that meat because Scripture says that I can't, and he hasn't come to that walk in his life, that spiritual walk, where he realizes he can eat it. And so now if I continue to eat that meat in front of him, even though I have the liberty to do it in the Lord, I create a stumbling block to him by causing his conscience to be offended. That's one type of a stumbling block. But what the person's asking is, you know, how the connection between the doctrine of Balaam and a stumbling block, which Paul speaks of, and that's true. That's true.
Okay, we have, before you conclude, continue on with the teaching, we have another question that says, so the persecution that caused many to deny the faith, is it coming back to that point, I guess they're trying to get, is it coming back to that point where Antipas, in verse 13, I believe, that is what they're referring to, verse 13 of chapter 2, as you were just teaching, the persecution has that caused many to deny the faith, and where Antipas was a martyr. Is it coming back to that now?
Well, you know, that's a deep question. Yes.
Mm.
We're at that point where we Christian people are going to be the minority, and, you know, at one time when somebody brought a specific sin into the world, and they wanted to legislate it, and they committed certain sins in our community, the greater part of the community would say that's wrong. We used to have blue laws in the state of Connecticut which would not allow them to sell alcohol on certain days and after a certain time. And then those laws changed because the people who wanted those laws kept in place because they were, you know, they felt that they needed to have them, that you shouldn't be selling alcohol on Sunday. They became the minority, and Christians, we are becoming the minority, and the problem becomes that then we become the voice who is the troublemaker. You see, it's no longer the person who's calling for, you know, the legalization of alcohol being a troublemaker. Now it's turned on to us, and yes, and we are persecuted, and we will be persecuted, and some government entities even consider some religious organizations, anti-government. And merely because they're preaching the true gospel. And that's a shame. And so,
amen.
Will we be martyred? Well, you know, Paul, people say, well, you know, if I had the faith of Paul, well, the truth is this. Paul was told not to go down to Jerusalem. He was told by the Holy Spirit. He was told by Agabus. He was told by the brethren. He went. He was disobedient. But you know what? The Lord was there and merciful to him. He met him in the prison and said, Paul, you know, he had mercy on him. But Paul, we talk about his great faith, but you don't know what you're going to do. You know, Peter said, I'll stand with you, Lord, to the end. He couldn't at that time. His faith wasn't strong enough. But Paul was an apostle. He was very strong. But when they wanted to kill him, they let him out a window to escape.
Mm.
And so sometimes in our Christian life, we'll have to make that decision. Do we stand or do we run and come back to fight another day? I mean, that's up to us. But we should never get to the point where we renounce our faith or we walk away from it. You know, take place. Listen, Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. He died for my sins. He paid the price for me so I wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. And he suffered that for me. He was righteous. He came from a perfect world. He came pure and holy into a decaying, filthy, denying, Christ-denying world. They even told him he was born of fornication, disrespected our Lord, and he went to the cross. And you know what? We're supposed to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it comes to us being martyred, then you know what? Let's go and praise the Lord and sing about it on our way. Amen, brother?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's all the questions that came in for now, Doc. I guess you can resume the teaching. Amen. I know the brothers out there, they're waiting on you.
Amen, brother. Amen. We stopped off in verse 14. Verse 14, the Lord said, Jesus said, But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. To commit fornication. And so, you know, that's what happened. Pergamos means, you know, much marriage. The church is married to the world. And when you're married to the world, you can commit spiritual fornication. You don't have to commit physical sexual fornication. There's a spiritual fornication. You're married to the Lord. He's bought you with a price. And when you get into spiritual sin, you can commit spiritual fornication. You commit spiritual adultery. You get into the world. And you know, they're committing both spiritual and physical. And the Baalite religion, church and state, they get married together. And they keep their heathen pagan religion, but they put Christian names on their gods and Christian terms on their holidays, and Babylonian or Baalism or Christmas or Easter, whatever you want to call them. And you get over and you find that, you know, the church at Ephesus, the Lord hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But Pergamos, you know, Pergamos embraced it. They embraced it. And, you know, this is, you know, Mystery Babylon the Great. This is where it begins. This is where it comes from. And so we have to, you know, watch that stuff. We have to be careful in our own walks. You know, the golden cup previously mentioned, you know, the people there, they were doing this. They were worshiping, and they brought it into the church. That's why the Lord says he has a few things against them. I mean, it's the seat of Satan is in Pergamos. It's there in that place. But here we have them falling into that mystery religion, you know, that teaching that, you know, every kind of idolatry you can think of. It's a sad thing. And, you know, I'll tell you, if I might, I was recently, somebody gave me a library. We would like to plant a church down here in Imperial Beach, and recently somebody gave me a library, and it was very much appreciated. But as I went through the library, I saw that it was a church's library, and the church had gone under. And it was at one time a great Methodist church. And it was a great blessing to have the books given. I mean, you know, we salvaged what we could that were reference books that were doctrinally sound, and the rest, you know, we found a place for them. And not in anybody's hands, I assure you, because we're not going to pass heresy to anybody. But we went through the books, and what I saw, the most disheartening thing that I saw, and I'm talking to pastors out there. I'm talking to ministers out there. I'm talking to brethren who want to lead other brothers in Christ Jesus, deacons, ushers, and you have the calling of God upon you. This church went down because of what they let into the church. I went through that library. It was disheartening to see this type of stuff that goes on. It was very sad. And so I think that you need to think about that, what you're bringing into your churches. And that's what they did down here in Pergamos. And so in verse 15, the Lord says, so hast thou also them that has the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And you know what that was. We talked about that earlier. The doctrines of Nicolaitans, separation of the laity. You know, the clergy is over the people. And so finally, the Lord tells him in verse 16, he says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will, fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And remember, these are tribulation churches, but spiritually, this the application is the seven church ages that we go through, and you'll see that when we get down to the next church. And so right now we're going to end here. I'm going to stop with 325, 500 AD before we get to Thyatira. And so I thank you, brother, for the time that you've allowed me to come on the show and to be your guest here, and I appreciate that very much, and I hope we've touched some hearts. I would just ask that anybody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd call out to the Lord. People say, how do I know? Well, you know, God's not going to refuse you. If you need the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a sinner, and I don't haven't met anybody who isn't, you need to ask the Lord to reveal himself to you if you're not sure that Jesus is the Christ. But I assure you, he is the Lord, and he will save you. Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, amen. You've heard. You've heard tonight, amen, from Dr. Theologian, amen, Dr. Ventura, amen, on the study on the epistle of Pergamos, amen. We talked about a lot of things. He talked about the seed of Satan, amen. He talked about that, about the Lord going forth with the sword of his mouth. He talked about the doctrine of Balaam, the stumbling block. I know we had some questions on the stumbling block. Also talked about, are we coming to the last days? Well, we indeed are coming to the last days, as you heard Doc said, amen, and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and then we talked about in parallel a lot of the teachings to the history of the Catholic churches and the popes. Doc just went into that, and like he said, it's based on historical facts, not attacking anybody, but it's historical facts. You can search it out yourself. And also went into about the man, briefly he went into the mystery of Babylon, and you definitely have to tune in the future as Doc get into an awesome study on that in the book of Revelations, amen. And I know many of y'all, you've been emailing and stuff and concerned about when he's going to teach back on the Bible translations and the various Bible translations, amen. Doc will definitely in the future let you know. We'll definitely keep you posted on that when he's going to do another study on Bible translation and manuscripts, amen. I know many of y'all are using NIVs and NLTs and stuff like that, and we're just here to tell you, we're just here to enlighten you, amen. They're stealing the word of God from under our nose, amen. We have to do something about that. So, amen. If you have any questions and you want to talk to Dr. Ventura, you want to schedule an appointment to talk with him, you can just email Lady J at emgpresident@gmail.com. We'll set up an appointment because Doc is a busy man. Amen. Also has a family. He's married. Amen. So he got a family. So you definitely set up a schedule where you can speak with Doc one-on-one. If you have any questions concerning doctrine, we definitely would make it happen. Amen. Also, in the Praise and Media Group, we deal with music, we deal with books, production, amen, and we also deal with the Word of God, amen, and we also deal with serving God, amen. So any questions, amen, or you wanted to schedule an appointment to speak with Dr. Ventura, amen, emgpresident@gmail.com. Lady J will definitely make your acquaintance. She'll schedule you for a conference call appointment with Dr. Ventura. Amen, amen. And definitely I encourage you, amen, to study to show yourself improved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. This has been another episode of the Sound Doctrine Broadcast, brought to you by Interpraisement Media Group. On the spot, Nathan, on the spot. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday night. You can look for us back, amen, on Crossroad Temple, amen, on Sunday night, amen. I know we have a gospel singer out of New York coming up on this Sunday, amen. It's supposed to be, I think, Miss Williams is scheduled, amen. But look like so far it's a go, amen. But we look forward to joining you, amen. In Jesus' name, I thought we had another call, amen. I thought many of y'all, amen. Are you Bible thumpers, amen? I know we have a lot of you joining us via the internet all around the world. Amen. We thank you for joining us. Amen. And like I said, amen, you can post scriptures, you can talk the talk, amen, but are you reading your Bibles? Are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? So we thank you for tuning in. May God bless you, and keep your knees on the floor, nose in the Bible, and eyes on Jesus. Amen. God bless you, in Jesus' name. Good night.
When you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley, trials and